to Mark chapter 8 in your Bibles. We look at the Gospel of Mark chapter 8. It's good to read the Word as well as have it read to us. The Word of God is the Word of God, God's Word to us. So this morning, Father, we humble ourselves to receive afresh your Word to each one of us. And thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do this morning through your Word and Spirit. Verse 22. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he'd spat on the man's eyes, that's a unique method of healing here. Jesus is spitting on somebody's eyes. Now, you'd soon become famous if you did that, especially if you got the same results. Jesus spat on the man's eyes and put his hands on him. And Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." He looked up and said, verse 25. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened and his sight was restored. And he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go into the village." Now, this is an amazing story that I believe teaches us a very important lesson that Jesus is wanting us to grasp, and he wants us to grasp it this morning. And that is, Jesus sometimes, and I would say quite often really, uses process or different stages before you see the complete miracle. If you think about these stages that Jesus took this man through, the first thing that he did is that he took the man by the hand and led him outside the village. Now, just imagine being blind and a stranger taking you by the hand. Someone you've only heard about but you've never met personally. And how much this man would have to start to put his trust in the one who was leading him when he couldn't see anything. And that is what faith means. Trusting Jesus, the one that you can't see, to lead you even when you don't know where he's taking you. So it's a walk of faith. You start out life. Everything that Jesus does begins with this walk of Jesus, the good shepherd, leading you. Stage two. We could say there are three stages. That's stage one. Stage two, Jesus spits and basically he doesn't want us to get settled into a particular style of healing. He just wants to show that he is the one who heals. Whatever method he uses, he's the healer. Jesus is the healer. And stage two is that he puts his hand on this man's eyes. Whenever Jesus speaks about laying on of hands, there's a power transfer. That's an essential teaching in the church today, that if a believer lays hands on you, there's going to be a power transfer. A transfer of God's power. So Jesus lays hands on this man, and he begins to experience partial sight. Now, partial is better than no sight, isn't it? But I put it to you that it's not the best. If you only partially get your miracle, and we need to celebrate the partial, we need to make sure that we understand that there is a stage three, which is the full-blown miracle. So Jesus, now this is the perfect minister with perfect power. He doesn't just pray or minister once. He ministers again. Now I think that's a secret to not giving up at stage two, but believing him to lead you through to the fullness, which is stage three. And the message that I believe Jesus is wanting to bring to us today is, don't settle for good. Don't settle for better. Go for the best. Stage one is good. Walking with Jesus, saved. Stage two is beginning to see the power of God change your life. But stage three is complete, all and out miracle that Jesus does in your life. And this is something that I believe is in the heart of God to encourage every single one of us here this morning. Not to be in the majority that settle with stage one. And I would say even the minority that settle for stage two. They start to see a few miracles and a few of the promises happen. They start to see one or two of the gifts of the Holy Spirit work in their lives, but they never go on to see everything that Jesus died to give them. They see one or two promises that improve their life. But Jesus said he died so that we could have all the promises of God as a real experience in all of our lives. Amen. And I haven't yet entered into stage three in everything. And I feel sorry for anybody who thinks they have. Because we haven't arrived yet. The best is yet to come. And Jesus wants to lead you and me and encourage us to not just see a bit of what God has promised us and our families. He doesn't just want to see partially whatever he has spoken over us as a people happen. He wants to see the full-blown stage three, everything complete. Because when Jesus promises something, he is faithful and he will do it. Philippians says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. So it began a good work. It's getting better. Providing we're staying with Jesus and walking out our relationship with him by faith. It's getting better. I must say I'm in the better than when I first began walking with Jesus. I see a lot more. There's a lot more that I've experienced in God. But I know the best is ahead and is yet to come. And I'm trusting Jesus to lead me and continue to pour out his life and minister to me so that I can see the better things still. Some people are satisfied with what they know about God currently. And I have to say, that isn't it. There's a lot more experience of God. There's more knowledge of God. Paul said, forgetting what is behind, I press on to lay hold of everything that Jesus laid hold of me for. And so if I could have the first slide, the title, God's Best, Don't Let Settle for Less. God's best. Don't settle for less. This works out in every area of life. It works out in healing, physical healing. It works out in emotional healing. It works out in relationships. I'm so glad I didn't settle for something the world wanted to give me. I settled for God's best for me. And I believe God has his best for his people. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He actually says, have a look at all of this that I have provided through my son's death and resurrection. I give you everything. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. And so our families, what about our families? Have you seen everything you think God's going to do in your family? I haven't. I've seen some good. I've seen some better. But I know the best is yet to come. And this is the whole thing that Jesus wants to teach us this morning about how to view life when it doesn't all happen immediately, where stage three doesn't happen all the time. But where he is leading us step by step into the completion of every good thing that he has promised. And I don't just want to settle at one or two. I want to go for number three. And God doesn't want anybody in this room settling for less than the best. Now, I'd like to use a story that I researched yesterday. And it's actually scientifically proven, just to kind of illustrate the point this morning. And it's a story about a flea. Or it's actually science-based about fleas. Fleas are interesting things, apart from being very annoying and you don't want any in your house. Fleas can jump, it's thought, 200 times higher than their size. Now, if you think there might be somebody here 6 feet tall, 100 times higher you jumping would be quite remarkable. But like for like, imagine a human being jumping, or you jumping, 200 times your height. That's a heck of a jump, isn't it? So a flea is able to jump, and that's why we don't like them, because we never know where they're going to land. A flea is able to jump 100 times or 200 times higher than they actually are. And scientists have done some training with fleas. Imagine spending your life training fleas. And they put them in a cardboard box, and they put the lid on. And these fleas start to jump. And every time they jump up, they hit the lid with their head. And so they keep jumping until they learn that if they jump a little bit lower than the lid, there won't be any headache. There won't be any hitting a ceiling. But the interesting thing that scientists have discovered is that when they are trained to jump this high, that's the height of the box, and they remove the lid of the box and just remove all restrictions, the flea can't jump any higher than it has learned to jump. So, lid off, the flea still does this height, even though it could jump right out the box and have a free life. And you see, Jesus has given us abundant life. He's given us new life. He has given us himself. If anyone is born again, they have Christ in them. In other words, the lid is off the box. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. But sometimes I think we are like that flea who just kind of just are hit by experiences in life or go through things in life, in our Christian life, and we don't see happen what we thought God was going to do. Bit like that guy if he'd stopped at stage two. I thought I was going to get a complete miracle, but I only got partial. Never mind, I'll just settle for partial because partial is better than no sight. And so you can learn life out of partial. You can actually set your boundaries or your limits by how far you have gone already. Because it's been your experience, it's possibly in your thinking. Or even when you have acted in faith in what God has said, you might have got a headache and seen pain in your life. And pain of any kind is one of the most restricting factors that can happen in anybody's life. If you start to hurt in some area, you withdraw, don't you? Like I do not, once I've burnt my fingers, I do not put my hand over the flame again. I pull back. And I think sometimes as Christians, we are living a pulled back life because the lid's on in our thinking and our imagination. We think we can only go so far. Whereas God is saying, I can tell you something. I have no limits over your life. Jesus actually said, the one who believes in me. Are there any believers in Jesus in this room?
Yes.
That's the qualification. The same works he will do. And greater still, because I go to the Father. I need to say that again because some of you are so religiously tuned in that you actually accept where you're living currently and are not willing to look for the best. Right, this is the best. Jesus said, he who believes in me, the same works. If you've ever read the Gospels, those works are awesome. And if you read the book of Acts, they carry on being awesome. But now he's saying, everyone who believes in me can do the same works and greater still. In other words, the lid is off your life. But maybe, just maybe, you've trained yourself to live in a box. Whereas the flea in this cardboard box has learned to jump only up to there. Gets a headache and said, that's it for the rest of my life. This is the Christian life. I go to church. I sometimes pray for people that get healed, but I've never seen anybody out of a wheelchair. I need to see more people saved, but at least I've seen my friends saved and at least one or two people. But we're not going for the greater thing still. I've seen God's work through his Spirit in my life. I've seen him give me words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Supernatural gifts of faith. In a moment of time, I had the faith to conquer this situation. God gave me something by his Spirit that made me leap over a wall and see a victory. But I think sometimes we're so limited by what we accept to be the Christian life now. Can I speak for myself? I can be so limited by what I see myself living in and doing now. Whereas Jesus said, there is stage three. There's the best possible life. Every promise, yes and amen, in Christ. We have here the picture of a man in a box. And interestingly, his head isn't any higher than the height of the box. And he doesn't think he can get out of that box. He doesn't think that there is a strong possibility that he'll ever live beyond what he's living in now. Have you ever talked to somebody who just can't see a way out of what they're in? Yeah? And they say, I can't. Where's that one? I can't. I can't see. I can't do this. I can't change. I can't heal the sick. Well, the Bible says you can. Believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I can do all things through Christ. There isn't one person in this room, if Jesus is in you, that can't do the same things as Jesus. But it doesn't happen for settlers. It happens for people who say, I can, not I can't. This man in the box, he's more concerned about what people say and do. People say, I'm like this, so I can't change. I feel even. Has anybody ever felt something and believed it was true? It's one of the ways the devil works. He brings lies into people's lives, tries to define you by the words that he says. And we need to learn the secret of our lives, that only what Jesus says defines who we are. And that truth sets us free. We're not the flea in the box. What people do. How many people live in that little trap? Always worrying about what people are going to do. What about what God can do? Because with God, Nothing is impossible. With God. I said with God. Nothing. Stop yawning, please, and wake up. With God, nothing is impossible. I know you might be a little sleepy, but your spirit wants to jump up higher than the box this morning. And your head and your whole life needs to tune into the Word of God. Jesus wants to teach us something this morning. Let's not settle for less than best. Let's say no to people defining us. Your family might think you're something. God says you're something else. You see, the new creation is perfect. And if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. So whatever you were before, you are not now. It doesn't define you how you were. It's who you are that actually defines you. Experience, isn't that a biggie? Have you ever had an experience that made you doubt God's promise? Peter did. He got out of the boat. Jesus said, come, walk on the water. And he began to see and experience the waves. And what happened? As soon as he took his eyes off and began to doubt, he began to sink. Because our experience teaches us failure. But the Word of God teaches us victory. Amen. And success. And if you have your experience as your teacher, it isn't a good teacher. Unless it matches up with the Word of God. See, I haven't yet experienced all that I know is God's best for my life. I haven't experienced every miracle in healing. I want to see everybody healed. Jesus healed all who came to him. How about that one? Don't you want to see that in your life? Jesus healing all who come to you. Imagine that. But your experience can say, well, it didn't work before. And therefore, if your experience starts to teach you, you will never get out of the box and into the power of God. Maybe you've grown up being taught that you're no good. And so you think you're no good. And so you believe you're no good. And guess what? You soon behave. Because a man, as you believe you are, as you think you are, whatever you believe about yourself actually affects your behavior. So if you think you're no good, nothing, which is not how God sees you, he actually thought you were so worthwhile saving. He died for you. That's how much worth he places on your life. He says, I love you enough to die for your sins so that you might be forgiven and be restored to me. That is worth. And you'll only find your worth when you find your worth in the love of God. He values you more than you value yourself. We have habits. Some people say, well, I'll never be free from smoking or drugs, or I could never be free. Addicted to so many things. This generation has so many addictions. They're inventing more every day. New drugs, new things to get caught up in, the gaming world, the visual world, pornography. It's all out there, and you can, if you continue to connect with those things, be addicted to those things. But Jesus' power is greater than the power of addiction. And he is the one who sets people free. And if you've only seen a partial healing, God wants to bring you to stage 3 and not camp as a settler in a partial miracle. Jesus gloriously sets his people free. There is nothing that holds on to your life that you don't have to be free from. How amazing is that? This is a biggie. In a box because of fear. Yeah. Well, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to talk about Jesus. I'm afraid to actually step out on a promise and actually believe God's word. I'm afraid of the future. People get so afraid about everything. They worry about their lives all the time, incessant. I mean, it shouldn't be happening in the church, but I'm tempted to think that it might happen in your life. And Jesus says, do not worry about your life. In other words, stop spending all your time meditating on what could go wrong. Meditate on what's right. Meditate on the promises. Meditate on me and my power, and it will get you out of this limitation and into boldness. You'll be as courageous as a lion. Doubts, unbelief, people are plagued. And you know, if you live in doubts, you will live exhausted. Because one minute you believe, the next minute you don't. I don't know, maybe the next minute you don't. One minute, maybe he will, he won't, he will, he won't. It's like the daisy. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. I remember doing that as a little girl. He loves me not. I tell you, the daisy says, he loves me, 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 he loves me. There's no not in it. The daisy says, he's promised it, he will do it, he promised it, he'll do it, he's promised it, it'll do it, he's promised it, it'll do it, that'll happen. According to his word, everything has to obey his word. And so therefore I put myself under his word. The guy's out of the box. Why? Because he's believing what God says. This is the picture. He's left restriction. The limitations. He is going to reach his potential. Why? Because he believes what God says. Believes the promises. He's got faith for God's best. Don't you and I need faith for God's best? Especially if you're in a spot of trouble. Or going through a difficult patch. Don't we need faith for God's best? See, I believe for God's best for our working life. I don't mean our best. I mean God's best. God chooses the best. That's why we need to hand things over to him and say, lead me, good shepherd. Because you know what's best for me. I've had many a plan and it turned out to not be good. But I've learned to trust the Savior who brings God's best. And I believe that if we take on the truth, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you and I will live out of the box. Don't let the negative train your life. Don't let your experience. I'm looking at all of you and you're all champions in Christ. Amen. I'm looking at you like I see you with the mind of Christ. Amen. All things are possible for you who believe. No limits. Jesus took the lid off. Amen. When you accepted him, that means God is able to do far more than you could ask or imagine according to his power that's at work in you. Isn't that amazing? So don't say, I've never done that before. Don't say, I can't. Say, Jesus, you're able. You know, sometimes we go through times relationally that are so tough. Marriages can go through really tough times. And it seems like the love bloom just left. And it can happen in churches as well. You really enjoy being part of a church, but then the bloom goes. You actually get to see everybody. And you say, well, they're not perfect. And they look at you and they go, you're not perfect. And God says, love one another as I've loved you. And so you can actually start to lose love, which is one of the biggest dangers that you and I face, is that we stop loving as God calls us to love. And Jesus says, you can love with my love. I live in you. My Holy Spirit has given you my love. A love that forgives. That's why you need faith to forgive. Because faith releases the love of God in your life. When people repeatedly fail you, it's okay if one or two times people do something wrong, isn't it? But it's when they do it hundreds. Have you ever had anybody do something to you hundreds of times? And don't kick your husband or wife currently. It won't work. At that point, you need to know that God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect. You can love with my love. And that love will never run dry. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Caleb was a box beater. Can I have the next slide? I just missed that. Don't be beaten by the box. What is your box? Don't be beaten by it. There's a man in Scripture called Caleb. And he was a faith man. And he wasn't beaten by the box. And he came in to take the land at 40 years old. He was one of the spies that was sent out to take the promised land. And at 40 years old, he was one of the few that says, we can do this. Where the majority said, we can't. And the majority spent their life in the wilderness. Let's say that's not for me because that's not God's best. That's not God's will, wilderness. His will is the promised land. Yeah? And the unbelieving generation had to pass away. So unbelief, not trusting God, like that man who trusted Jesus when he led him, just put his faith in Jesus, kept trusting him. The unbelieving ones didn't enter, but Caleb wholeheartedly trusted the Lord. He wholeheartedly followed Jesus and said, we can do this. Now in Joshua, I'm just going to mention this before I finish. Joshua chapter 14. Caleb has helped Joshua and all the people conquer the land. So he's a good guy. He's kind of working for the corporate blessing. And he comes in and he's 85 years old. He spent 5 years conquering territory with his brothers. 85-year-old comes to Joshua and he says, basically, you remember what Moses said. That the land I'd actually put my feet on 45 years ago, the land I put my feet on, Hebron, I'm coming to claim it. Now the thing about Hebron is in the promised land, this was the best part of the land. It wasn't the good, it wasn't the better, it was the creme de la creme. It was the top thing. And Caleb said, I want God's best. He had a holy ambition. And God likes it when we want the best. He likes it when we take the lid off and say, I'm going to go for something I haven't yet seen. And Caleb said, give me Hebron as my inheritance because it was promised me. And he says, I'm coming in to claim it. Okay, the enemy's there because it's got the best grapes. It's got the best views. It's got the best water. There's springs there. Everything's perfect there. Now, this is the point, is that Jesus wants us not just to inherit the ordinary lot. He wants us to have the Hebron, which is the top, the best. But only that Caleb heart will take it. What is the Caleb heart? Caleb Hart says, I'm going to put my foot on every promise that I see in this Bible. He's given me everywhere I tread my feet. I I'm going to do a Caleb. I'm having that promise. That one's for me. That one's for me. I know I don't want to destroy my Bible because it's old and it'll fall apart. But this one's for me. That one's for me. I'll just thank you, Jesus. All the promises of God are yes, and I claim them. You see, 40 years earlier, Caleb said, that's mine. Now, I might have a bit of a delay. Stage two, being with a miserable bunch who don't believe. Not you. Not you. You're the believers, are you not?
Yes.
But unbelief is misery. Everything's a problem. They're the ones who do this. They make so many... Dunno. Oh, should we pray? Dunno. Don't feel led. It's because you're not believing. Jesus says, believers lay hands on the sick. Crack on. Take the initiative. Because faith always does. Faith says, God said it. I'm going to act on it. Don't be with that bunch. But he had stage two. But in stage two, he was saying, I'm going for the best. And he comes up to Joshua and he says, Hebron, the grapes. Oh, do you know, some of you need to get so into the word of God, you're going, I can taste it. Oh, I can see Hebron. This is building a picture in me. Ah, I'm getting the flavor of God's best in me so that I'm going to go for what God says is possible for my life. Caleb was a box beater. And you see the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world. The Bible says, our faith. What did Caleb do? He believed totally according to the word of God. He took God at his word. He said, God, if you say it, I receive it. And I receive it, and I'm expecting the best. The enemy might try and hold, but he can't, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm just going to finish with this testimony, and we're going to have communion together, because that's going to be important in what God wants to do this morning. The story, and it really encouraged me, and I trust it will encourage you. There's a story of a woman who is very ill with cancer. And this has happened 12 months before she gave this testimony. And the report over her life was very negative. And she looked pretty ill. Anyway, she came to the church to give testimony, this particular church. And she was looking very healthy 12 months later. And she wanted to say what God had done. And she said the way that she experienced her miracle was that she took God's word about her healing. And she read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, by his wounds I am healed. She put her foot on that promise, you could say. She was like a Caleb. She said, I'm not going to have, this isn't God's best for me, by any means. It's actually the devil's plan. I'm going to go for God's best, which is perfect health. So she read, by his stripes, I am healed. And she decided to go to church and take communion. Now, when we take communion, it's a very powerful time, and I think we just need to lift the lid this morning on what it means to take communion together. They're symbols of the body of Jesus broken on the cross for us. That's the bread. And the wine is a symbol of his life poured out for our sins. And she saw the wounds of Jesus in the symbols. And so she said, Lord, these are symbols of your wounds. By the wounds of Jesus, I am healed. And she took communion that day. And this is what she said. I've written it down so I get her words, not mine. I believed I had been healed. not I would be. As I took communion, I received my healing. I believed I had been healed. But nothing happened to start with. Right? Nothing. There was no sign that she had been healed. Because you see, faith believes the word of God, not signs, not symptoms. Nothing happened to start with, but I kept saying by faith, I am healed. I kept saying, because with your mouth, with your heart you believe, and with your mouth you speak to salvation. So what you say affects the life you will live. Out of your mouth comes either blessing or curse, life or death. Choose life. Words speak life when the doctors speak death. Speak life. So I began to say, even though I saw no change, I am healed. She said, I learned that my faith is in the word of God, not in my healing. That is a world of difference from the way we normally receive in prayer. We're looking for healing where God is saying, I'm looking for faith in my word that it is done. And according to Mark 11, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Are you there? Believe you have received according to the word of God, the promise, and it will be yours. It is a faith claim, like Caleb. So she believed and she was speaking it. And 12 months later, she said, nearly all the cancer is gone. With no treatment but the word of God and communion. Because she saw the communion as powerful symbols of the reality. When Jesus said, when you take the bread and wine, remember that I died for your sins. Remember that my body was broken so you could live whole. And do you know what the best is? It's good to get healed. It's best to live in health. That's where I'm going. Does anybody want to go there? Live in divine health, not just needing healing all the time? By his wounds, we are healed. Are you okay out there? 12 months later, nearly all done, she said. So I've come to take communion this morning to receive the completion of my miracle. Having begun a good work in her 12 months ago, he has brought it to completion. And she was totally healed. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Isn't he a wonderful Savior? Isn't he wonderful to have as your Lord? And isn't it wonderful to be taught his ways that are higher than your brain? And as we live, trusting his promise, putting our foot, claiming, let's go for the best. Don't settle for partial healing. Don't settle for a bit of the power of God. God using you a little bit. Let him use you to the max, the same works as Jesus. See, we are in this generation for such a time as this, to prove the will of God, to give the world a demonstration of the real Jesus. Jesus went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Church, imagine us all. Think about it, what an exciting week. We all going around doing good, healing all. Who are oppressed? Come on, church, take the box lid off. Get out of your box and come on an adventure with Jesus. Don't get stuck in your tradition, your methods, your kind of limitations in your head. Nothing is impossible for him who believes. And this woman, she teaches us what I believe is a key. Now this morning, I believe that Jesus wants to bring to completion healing, but he also wants to bring to completion some of the things that he started. Maybe it's love that you are lacking in your experience in life. Jesus said, I have begun a good work in you. I want my love to be complete. I want you to love like I love. But you see, before we come to receive, I believe we need to offer ourselves to Jesus. And actually say, Lord, I present my body for righteousness, for your will, not mine. I give you my body because you gave me yours. I give you my life because you gave me yours. I repent. I say sorry for any sin. Before I receive from you, I'm going to clear the slate and say, blood of Jesus, cleanse me. If I have any unforgiveness towards anyone, beloved, you cannot receive anything from God unless you forgive those who hurt you. Then you are ready to receive from God this morning. And I've put two scriptures up this morning. The first one is, by his wounds we are healed. And as you take communion this morning, take divine health. Receive his word, claim it, and accept it as done. That this morning you're going to leave healed and whole. And the second thing, it's true, you can do all things through Christ. It's true. Only believe and you will be strengthened to fulfill everything that God calls you to do and to live the abundant life. You might be facing a few mountains. You might be facing challenges at work. You can do all things. Your relationships, your family, you can do. Don't give up and settle for partway. Let's not be those who shrink back like the flea. But let's leap out of the box and say, I can. Not through my own strength, but through Christ who strengthens me.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith South West, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.